And folks, we are back on CKW 95.9 FM of No Fixed Address, your advocacy show for the homeless and the vulnerable in our city and across the country. And today I have a really special guest on, you know, a person with a passion running for mayor. And I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing this, Rana. I'm really, really happy that we're having this conversation. Because,
me too. Me as well.
You know, I think I need to follow you a little bit more during the campaign. And
Please do.
I don't think we've met, you know, in person yet.
No.
But
I've been, you know, very... you know, I really want to take that time out of politics to contribute, right? And I needed to really be behind the scenes and, you know, help communities get to where they needed to, you know.
Yes.
I mean, and it's part of being an ally. It's part of being the person who kind of goes and just sits and, you know, it's almost like you're speaking when you're spoken to, kind of thing, because you're there to listen, you're there to learn. So I have been a little bit outside of the, you know, active political stuff, more behind scenes for a few years.
Right? Yes, you have. Yeah. I neglected to say that the artist we were listening there to was Alexis Taylor. And the song title, you know, rather appropriate for the show, is Dreaming Another Life. And you know how many folks out there dream about another life that it seems so far beyond their reach. And, you know, it just shows that we're not just not doing enough to get people out. We have, you know, I have a memorial service every year for the folks that have passed away on Main Street by the Bell Hotel in what we are now going to be calling Hope Alley. And we're having a ceremony in the beautification of the alleyway between the Bell Hotel and 650 Main Street, the WTA building. Yes, I've been working at this for 4 years, and now it's finally coming to fruition. And one of our city councilors, Councilor Santos, is working on officially naming the street Hope Alley and having a sign, having city signage up. And but you know, hope is one of the things that people, I always say, we hang on one single thread, and at the bottom of that thread is the word hope, and we're hanging on to that for dear life when we're out there. And you know sometimes that thread snaps and people die, and it's really sad. But what I was going to speak to you about was the relationship between the city and the province, and for how long has that relationship not been where it should be or where it can be, a productive one. It just seems there's always that tug of war, that push and pull, whether it's over money or whatever, or policy. I mean, it's always there. And how do you see things differently? I know we're probably going to have a different premier next election as well.
Yeah.
And that's speaking from my personal opinion. But how do you see that relationship going?
Yeah, and it's such a, again, it's a very important question, because you know, when we have discussions like this, it allows your listeners to understand that nothing can move forward. Mm-hmm. Like, we're always stuck in a just spinning our wheels.
Yes.
If we don't have that collaboration and that cooperation. But what this requires, and you know, again, this is why you know, when people are talking about experience, and people are listening to candidates be like, oh, well, I have 50 years of experience. You know what? We all have experience in different realms.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have experience, if you do not have experience negotiating with different levels of government, you will never be able to do the job.
That's true.
Period. And for someone like me who has been on many tables when it's come to the most difficult challenges, when it comes to negotiation between First Nations, municipalities, federal government, provincial government, people need to understand what that actually looks like. It is not just walking in and, you know, we're all rainbows and butterflies, never holding hands. It is a battle.
Right.
So if you don't have the passion, and if you don't have the fight, and if you don't know what you're actually fighting for and why, then again, people need to question what kind of mayor they want. It is collaboration, but collaboration is without ego. It's not grandstanding.
And that is the key thing. You know, how many people are in politics for the wrong reasons?
Well, a lot.
Yes. Open-ended question there. But yes.
You know, so, and the other thing about it is, You know, and just for the purposes of discussion, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what we're negotiating or what we're talking about or what issue we're trying to move forward.
Right.
What's good for Winnipeg is good for the province. What's good for the province is good for the federal government mm-hmm. and for the country. Mm-hmm. That is the crux. That is the stake we got to shove into the ground. Mm-hmm. If it's good for Winnipeg, it's also, quote-unquote, cost-saving, socially just, mm-hmm. effective for the province as well. And when the mm-hmm. province is doing good, it'll be good for the feds as well.
Yes.
But if you're not lobbying and if you're not advocating and if you don't even understand mm-hmm. what the purpose of what you're asking for is.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, again, it's so hard to collaborate between all three levels of government. It just seems to be something that's, you know, there's a gap in between. And, you know, if those relationships were better, you remember the fight that the province and federal government had over you know, matching payments and all that kind of stuff, you know, for the housing? And it could have been done, you know, years before, or at least, you know, a long time before it did actually happen, because the province mm-hmm. stalled and did not want to contribute to the housing sector, which is unreal. But you know, I hear some city politicians say, well, there's only so much we can do. And yes, that's true to a point. But also, what you can do is collaborate with the federal.
You can collaborate.
With
there is a middle ground.
Yes, there is a middle ground.
There is an answer.
Yeah.
This is, like, and I guess, again, I'll say this. Are we the only, you know, the only city in the world that has issues? No. There is a universe outside of Winnipeg mm-hmm. that has somehow managed.
Yes.
Innovatively, creatively, mm-hmm. to do the same thing we're trying to do.
Yes.
But then somehow when we get to Winnipeg, everyone throws their hands up.
Yep.
What? No, like, I mean, so there are solutions. And I think you said something really important, and I want to just really hang on to that. Mm-hmm. There is hope. Mm-hmm. There is absolute hope. Mm-hmm. You know, there's hope to get our citizens who are on the streets
yes.
housed safely. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is possible. But what we need to do is take the conversation out of what party, what yes. my title is,
yep.
what am I going to get paid, what's my pension going to be, mm-hmm. whatever people run for, whatever nonsense people get into the game for,
yep.
quote-unquote political game for.
Yes.
That's the issue. People need to understand. I really want this election to be about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Who is actually there? I am not perfect.
Who is?
Rough around the edges. I'm not going to be wearing suits and ties and whatever. Mm-hmm. I do me, mm-hmm. but me is authentic
mm-hmm.
and me is real.
I've been known to ruffle feathers because of my stand on homelessness and lived experience, and you know, but it's my responsibility to do what I have to get the message across that we can
absolutely
we need to do more and we need to value lived experience in this country,
absolutely
in policies and you know, I'm happy to be involved in all the highest level tables in Ottawa these days, but it's taken such a long time. But we need people of all different. Different perspectives around the tables when we are collaborating. You're dealing with, and it's really, really important, the Indigenous aspect of things and the demographics that you're dealing with in your, you know, profession. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that we're overrepresented on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 75% of our folks on the streets, our brothers and sisters on the streets, are Indigenous, and we are also, you know, and you know. Within our EIA system and those living in poverty, there's the same representation or close to it. Talk to me a little bit. And again, you know, our federal government still has not, after all these years and after all the coaxing and everything. I was on the vote housing team this year. I am still on the vote housing team. You know, that nonpartisan campaign. But you know, we were pushing the government, Hussein, to really do something about putting together at least and recognizing an Indigenous housing policy. But you know, the federal government still doesn't have one. They do not have a specific Indigenous housing mandate or policy. You know, and the person running the Indian Affairs, if that's the term that's used, it is not Indigenous either. And I think there's something wrong with that as well.
Agreed. And those are institutional systems, and you know, we will, you know, people have heard me talk about this on, you know, various places throughout 7 years. Mm-hmm. These are systemic issues. These are deeply ingrained systemic racial issues. When you are unable to legitimately see this is the group of people, mm-hmm. X group of people are the most vulnerable when it comes to this situation. Yep. Yet you don't want to term it that. You don't want to engage in that way. You don't want to look at the problem through the lens of traditional housing mm-hmm. that is culturally relevant, that is family relevant, that provides mm-hmm. not only housing but all the other supports that are required mm-hmm. for people to live a good life in a way that is reconciliatory, which is in a way that people can regain what they've lost when it comes to who they are as people. That is the thing. And not even who they lost. I commend, you know, basically every single Indigenous person out there, because they are still holding on to who exactly they are. Mm-hmm. It's in there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and what people failed to realize, and, you know, there was a change going on, so it had to be made at Shalom, because people did not recognize the power of Indigenous spirituality and Indigenous culture. And I think that, you know, it's so important. You know, I run a small housing project here in Winnipeg, a non-government funded. And, you know, it's so important. The most important thing of all is cultural identification and serving that cultural identification with, you know, the spirituality and the individual needs, you know, that they, you know, need and recognize. And it's so important that it is recognized and is worked through with folks, you know.
Absolutely, and it's not like one, you know. Again, it's not this monolithic mm-hmm. group of people, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. Very, very different traditions and cultures and everything within Indigenous peoples. Obviously, mm-hmm. just like everybody else in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're, you know, but at the same time, you know, there are things that have to be in place, mm-hmm. right? There have to be things in place. But I just want to go back to this, you know, ISC, which is like now, I guess, used to be Indian Affairs, it's now mm-hmm. called ISC. I don't even remember. I don't know what the...
I don't even know what it's called.
Indigenous Service Canada.
Okay, all right. That sounds about right. Sounds like the right bureaucratic.
Yeah, but it is just that. It's mm-hmm. just a lot of bureaucrats who've mm-hmm. been in those situations for decades, and really, they don't really care what ultimately happens. And I don't say that in a mean or disrespectful way. It is just bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is stale, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, and I think the recognizing a lot of the systemic issues, you know, you name the overrepresentation of, mm-hmm. you know, where Indigenous peoples are overrepresented.
Yes.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Why is that? Have we ever questioned why? Well, there are institutions in place mm-hmm. that would perpetuate that.
Yep.
For sure. You know, and this has been studied, true, and it's tested. There are systems. You know, we can go through, you know, a million issues that have happened. I mean, I'll humbly mention Tina Fontaine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll humbly mention Colton Bushy.
Yes.
I'll humbly mention these beautiful human beings mm-hmm. whose lives have been taken for us.
Yes.
For what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we still don't have an answer.
And we don't.
Right?
That is so terribly sad.
Yeah.
Folks, it's you're listening to CKOW 95.9 FM, your community radio station right here at CKOW. It's 25 degrees out there, but heading for and humidity, guess what? It's 88%, folks, and it's not comfortable. And the heat index is going to get well over 30 today, so be kind to the folks out there. You know, we're getting to the end of our conversation, but I have had one of the most engaging conversations I've had on the show for a while, and I really appreciate your candor. And,
absolutely, thank you.
And candor is what it's all about, you know, straight up, and don't talk around issues, but talk to them.
No, let's just have the conversation, mm-hmm. you know, and I appreciate community programming, because it gives us the opportunity to have these conversations, mm-hmm. Whereas in a lot of, which is hard, because, you know, a lot of your listeners will just be bites. They'll be, mm-hmm. you know, two-second clips.
Yes, and that is what I appreciate about having the show.
You know? Oh, it's so important, because that two-minute clip or that one post doesn't represent what I'm actually trying to say. And with 14 candidates,
exactly,
it's definitely been very challenging. Mm-hmm. So if I may, if people have understood or if it's resonating with you, please mm-hmm. follow me.
Yes.
Please join me. You know, let's make this... Let's take these human rights and bring them to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
campaign.
Yeah, there's nothing more important, you know, to me than human rights. Really, truly, you know, and we are put on this earth as equals, and I think we all need to recognize that. I'm going to divert just a second and go back to your 4 years in Pakistan, mm-hmm. and why you did that, and what, you know, the cultural changes and all of that kind
absolutely.
Of thing. And as we know,
I've done some other really important things since that. I've been to Iraq. I went on a pilgrimage to Iraq. I've been to. Yeah, like I've really, and this is a really important part of each of us.
Sure,
we have to be true to who we are. Mm-hmm. We have to really stand in our own, and knowing exactly who you are, where you come from, your ancestral history mm-hmm. will allow you to be strong and powerful in your position. To allow you to be fierce, because you know. You know exactly what you are and what you stand for. Mm-hmm. So, So you were asking about Pakistan.
Yes.
Yeah, we lived there. Well, we actually, it's a sad story. We went there on a vacation during the summer. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, when we got there, about 3 or 4 weeks before we were leaving, my dad had a few major strokes. I think it was like 15. And what people don't understand there is that there's no health care. There's no anything. And mm-hmm. we basically we had to stay with him. Like, he was in... you know, a health crisis, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. the family stayed with him, and all of us, not just me, my entire family, mm-hmm. You know, gave up jobs, gave up schooling, gave up everything, and just stayed together as a family there while he was going through his challenges. And when he was able to, and we could afford to, because you can imagine, we're a seven-person family, trying to get home, it was not
and
easy. Then pay for medical bills, and, you know, so, you know, I don't really talk about this, you know, my own lived experience with poverty,
yes.
but, you know, I've been poor in a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I was going to ask you about that.
Poor in Winnipeg is one thing, but poor in a third world country is you're basically washing and wearing the same outfit every single day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, and my thought was, before you said what you just said, that mm-hmm. You had to have a first-hand experience of poverty in
Absolutely.
Pakistan. And,
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that again, that gives you an insight that many people don't have that are running for this position that you're running for.
Yeah, and it's not even just in Pakistan. I mean, I've been, you know, the thing that's unique about my life, and I think one of the things as a human being is mm-hmm. is, you know, trusting and surrendering to your own path and just being, everything is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, but I've, you know, I've had a lot and I've had literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had everything, you know, and literally...
You
we
know,
had seven people living in an apartment on Tamina Highway.
And the hardest thing is because I've been there too, and the hardest thing is coming back to any kind of reasonable level is fighting through all the issues and trauma of poverty and working through that, right? That's the hardest thing. And people just don't realize, you know, people living in poverty are not stupid, which they're awesome, all many times assumed to be.
Yeah.
And you get that stigmatization. But, you know, the hardest part is getting through and working through and getting through the other side. And I really, really commend people that, like yourself, who have done that, because I know how difficult it is from personal experience.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing for us, just from a cultural perspective, and the thing for us was no matter what we had or what we didn't have, our family was together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made everything manageable.
Oh,
so
sure.
When we were there, our family stayed together. When we were poor here, our family stayed together. Mm-hmm. When we had everything here, our family stayed together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a big family system like that, and we are very communal, like we don't move out at 18. Our parents always stay with us. My mom lives with me now. Before my dad passed away, my dad was with us. Like,
mm-hmm.
we don't, you know, our family literally lives, we're neighbors.
Yep.
Like my sister, my brother,
sure.
we all live in the same little, you know, that's how we survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are cultural things there that I value, that I hold very deep, but it was a very difficult experience. But, you know, I wasn't young. I was in my 20s. So my eyes were quite wide open mm-hmm. to what I was seeing there. But I also, you know, I was in Iraq for a pilgrimage in 2019. And that in itself is another vision of poverty that most people have never seen. I went on a walk. It was a humanitarian walk. They call it a walk for humans,
sure.
a walk for human rights.
Yep.
And it's about 42 million people from all across the world that come there.
Nice.
And I went to that walk with some of my family, and mm-hmm. again, life changing. Mm-hmm. You know, and just seeing people, for people.
Yeah. And, you know, people don't do that, generally speaking. But I just want to say, when you get to be mayor, we'll come knocking on your door as part of the poverty reduction strategy.
Please. And
because we know how important it is to lift people out of that situation.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you'd like to, you know, leave with my listeners before we go today?
You know what? No, I just, I'm here. You know, I'm here and I have a purpose of being in this race. I didn't just, you know, show up one day and decide I want to do it. I really believe in the city. I have hope for this city, but something has to change. Let's please not go back to the 1990s, first off. And if you believe, if you're a person who believes that we can do better for the environment, for human rights, if you believe in equality, if you're someone who wants to be like a good human being, like we want to take care of each other.
Yes.
We want to love and support each other. We want to be economically sound. We want to be able to have businesses and lives and everything else, but also be good human beings.
Yes.
Please connect with me.
Yeah, do
because
that.
Now is the time.
And I would dearly love to meet up with you sometime and
call me out.
Share
anytime.
Ideas.
Please.
And it would be just wonderful to do that. I just want to say good luck on the rest of the campaign. But
thank
I
you.
Will connect with you, soon because
do.
I think it's important that, you know, people, you know, thinking in the same lane, you know, maybe should have some connectivity.
Please. My door's always open for yourself and anyone else.
And next week we have a person, you know, with your same heart, and we have Leah Gazan coming on next week.
Oh,
and
Leah.
She is, you know, she is my personal MP from my area here, but also, you know, a good friend who supported me on my Walk for Lived experience a couple of weeks ago.
Wonderful.
It was great. But
Tell her I said hi.
I will certainly do that.
Fantastic. Yeah, she's a wonderful, wonderful human as well.
She is. And I will certainly connect with you, and I will certainly tell Leah hello from yourself.
Okay, wonderful.
And we'll see you soon. And
absolutely.
Thanks for being on air today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Take care. Bye.
That was Rana Bakari, mayoral candidate. For our election coming up in the fall. And a very refreshing conversation. Speaking to my able producer, assistant, whatever you want to call Deb, what was your cover? What were your thoughts?
I enjoyed listening and I learned a lot. It's always fun to hear someone's personal experience and understand a little bit about their motivation for pursuing social justice.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, again, some people get into it for the wrong reasons. But when you have people like and I sense the same thing from the other two people we've had on prior to this, both Sean and Jenny McCulloch. Sorry, folks, I'm having a problem with names here. McCulloch. Sorry, Jenny, if you're listening, or Jenny followers. And, you know, we need people with passion in their hearts. We need people with, you know, with empathy in their hearts. And that's, for me, the biggest word in the English language is empathy. And we need everybody running to have that in play. But, folks, we're going to be wrapping up right away, but come back next week for, as I mentioned before, Leah Gazan, the MP, federal MP for my personal ward right here in central Winnipeg, Leah Gazan. And, you know, really, really strong NDP leader. And in my personal opinion, she could be NDP leader, but I think she does want to be because it would take her away from her ward here. But come back for a really engaging conversation with her. And listen to her views on our country and our city and our province. Folks, till next week, thank you for tuning in. And be kind. Those people on the street need your water today. They need anything that you can give them today. If you can't give them anything, don't ignore them. Say hello. Ask them what they do need. Till next week, folks, have a good one. We'll be right back.